What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of Keeping Carlson Short Shifts, a podcast that we release twice a week in between the Sunday mega shows, where we discuss any little news and notes that happened in the games in between those big shows. And guess what? It's Tuesday, December 24th, and there's been a day of games, and now there's a three-day break, but a lot of stuff happened in that one day of games. And I'm Elon Dubrovsky here, and with me to help break everything down is Elizabeth. How's it going, Elizabeth?
Hey, everything's good here. I mean, it's the 24th of December. It's a sad, slow week for fantasy hockey, but we're excited because it's the holiday season and we all get some time off work, some slow days. So yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's nice to have a little bit of a break, not have these games to, be occupying our minds. At the same time, now like some stuff happened yesterday and it's like, we're not even going to find out. Like Pasternak's hurt. We're not even going to know his prognosis for like 3 days. I don't want to wait. Christmas is ruined. I don't even know if I have Pasternak coming back on Friday or not.
Christmas is ruined. I love that. But we do get World Juniors for those who watch on the 26th. And I know that you love your Dynasty League. So I'm sure you'll be watching a few of those games.
Yeah, I feel like the trick for Dynasty is whenever someone does something in the World Juniors, you need to add that person and then offer them in a trade really quickly while their stock is high. Like a two-goal game, you get him, then like make everyone feel sad and then say, well, if you want, you can have this random Czech player off my team, and then we'll never hear from that person again. But yeah, there's definitely some exciting players. Let's focus on the NHL, I guess. Let's start with the injuries. Yeah, I've got four injuries from yesterday. Not a fun way for, I'm sure, these players to go into their holiday break. Hopefully they're feeling okay and still going to be able to have a good time. But yeah, David Pastrnak got hurt midway through this game versus the Capitals. And by the way, Washington didn't even take very many shots in that game. This is a whole separate side story. But yeah, only 11 shots for the Capitals against Boston, which is pretty wild. But yeah, with Pasternak hurt, apparently it's like we don't know yet, which is going to, I think, be the case for all of these updates. Like literally the latest tweet is no update on Pasternak from Sacco after the game. In the meantime, I guess it's possible that there's no fantasy relevance here. I see that Oliver Wahlstrom got moved up the lineup, but then got kicked out of the game at some point. I think the big news here is just regardless of what's going on with Pasternak, Brad Marchand is the hottest Bruin right now. He's the one I should have traded Draisaitl for, not Pasternak. Marchand up to now 11 points in his last 10 games after a 3-point game yesterday versus Washington. So yeah, you're definitely want any exposure to Marchand. Lately, his line has been with a Coyle and Lindholm, and they're going off as well. So yeah, I used to think it was like you want Zaka and whoever's playing with Pasternak, but maybe it's you want the people with Marchand.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, nobody should be rushing out and doing any crazy adds and drops today. We don't know where these injuries are going to lead us. This could be something minor. He could be back by the weekend. Now, with that being said, I have to agree, Marchand is looking great this year, but also he had the best response to being asked how Pasternak was looking after the game, and I think everybody should go look at it because it is much funnier when he says it, but let's just say there's some shower comments and how good he looks in there. So go check that out. It's really funny, and it'll keep you going over the next few days while you're in fantasy sadness.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so Pasternak's going to be back Friday because apparently he looked good in the shower. I'll take it.
Yeah.
So what's the next injury you've got to throw at us? Let's keep the sadness going.
Yeah, let's keep the sadness going on this happy occasion. Next up, we've got Patterson, who got banged up in the second period. Yesterday, he did try to take a shift in the third, but it just didn't work out for him, so he left the game. And according to the coaching staff there, they're saying, like we're saying, they've got a break. They don't think it's going to be too bad, so they're going to see how it goes. So this is still something that his fantasy managers are going to have to watch for and look at, see what's going on. There's already a lot going on in Vancouver to be leery about and a little bit concerned about. But for right now, just keep an eye on this. I don't think it looked too crazy, and that's what we're hearing. So hopefully, again, this is another case of he gets the 3 days off, he gets some ice packs, some heat, maybe a massage, and he's back on the ice before we know it.
Yeah, I think probably what happened is Elias Pettersson heard Brian in my show on Sunday. We were talking about his cold streak and saying, like, hey, this guy's got to step up soon. Brian even, I think, threw a trade offer out for Pettersson. I think he offered Line A for Pettersson. I don't know actually what the result was for that. But yeah, Pettersson came out hard. He scored two goals before getting hurt. So yeah, I guess he was just pushing too much and he needed to slow down. But yeah, he's got this break. And hey, maybe this is good for his fantasy managers because Vancouver doesn't play until Saturday. So you'll be able to maybe stash Pettersson in IR for the Friday, get a game from someone else. Then hopefully he's back in time for Saturday against Seattle. So maybe it won't be so bad. But yeah, speaking of Patrick Laine, the person who Brian offered, he also got hurt. Oh no. So I don't think we have, yeah, we also don't have an update on Laine. It's going to be this and the next injury. He has an upper body injury. He was questionable to return to the game. He obviously did not end up returning to that game. So we'll see how things go for Laine after the break. That is an opening on the top power play. If he does miss time again, that would be really sad if he's actually like injured long term. But yeah, it looks like Joel Armia joined Suzuki, Caulfield, Slafkovsky, and Matheson on the top power play yesterday. So that would be interesting. And by the way, Elizabeth, I don't know if you listened. I threw three Habs at Brian that were on hot streaks. And he was just like, pass, pass, pass. Like, not interested. Joel Armia, Jake Evans, Emil Heinemann. All three got points yesterday. So I don't know. I'm going to have to get Brian to reassess on those. I don't know if you have any deep thoughts on any of these bottom sixers on Montreal doing something.
It really sounds like Brian's cursed. I mean, he threw a Pettersson, he threw a Laine, and he didn't jump on your Armia bandwagon. So, I mean, if this is really a Brian fault. Like, we can blame him for all the bad things now and go on with our holiday happiness. But truthfully, I mean, looking at the bottom six there, it's not super exciting. Armia's always been a really good stream when you have time, and he will get the call up when it's there. So I do like him for that. I wouldn't be planning a long-term hold, though. Sorry.
No, that's fair. Four-game point streak now for Armia. And this Emil Heinemann, I don't know. Like, how old is he now? 23 years old. He's got 5 points in his last four games. I don't think he's going to do anything, like, big this year to, you know, hold him in a cupful or something. But again, if you're in a deeper dynasty, like, he's starting to get a bigger role, getting some more ice time than he, well, I mean, not that big, but bigger than he did last year anyways, when he played four games. So I don't know. I think that there's maybe something here. Plus he hits. And Jake Evans, also, by the way, a pending UFA. Evans and Armia are both pending UFAs. So they're both playing for a new contract and, you know, not looking too bad. Okay, bring us one last injury, Elizabeth, before we can go to some fun hot streaks.
One last injury, and we got to talk about a goalie here. It's going to be John Gibson, who took a stick to the face last night during the game. It's believed that he kind of got hit in the eye area, which would explain why he didn't get back into the game. To be fair, this looked like accidental contact. It didn't look like it was on purpose. Nobody was aiming for his eyes or anything. And hopefully this isn't too serious and he is able to come back after the break. He got hit in the face. There's probably some swelling. He probably didn't want to return to the game. Let's just hope for the best here with all of these players that we've talked about today who got hurt on the Monday night. Hopefully their families weren't hoping for some big Christmas pictures because there's been a lot of beat up faces lately. We've got Brady Tkachuk, we got Zach Hyman. Those faces are looking rough this year for the Christmas cards. But I think overall, like with a lot of these guys, I think they're just going to need that time to recover for a few days and they'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, Gibson did miss a lot of time with injury, but sounds like this is completely unrelated. So you'd imagine he'll be fine. Lukas Dostal, if he does get a few extra games, he like hasn't been as awesome lately as he was at the start of the year. But maybe he just needs, yeah, a bunch of games in a row to get going. But then not too many that he like, you know, falls off a cliff like he did kind of at the end of his run before Gibson came back. But yeah, Dostal came in versus Vegas yesterday and led in 3 goals on 22 shots. So not amazing, but also you can't really blame someone who wasn't expecting to play.
Exactly. And I mean, now he's got that motivation if Gibson is out for a few games to try to be the guy again, right? Just be the savior. So,
all right. So let's take a break. And then when we come back, we'll do one more sad, a cold streak. And then I've got some fun big games from yesterday that we can discuss. We'll be back in just a sec.
Sometimes it's nice to get out, isn't it? A little bit for some of us. Sometimes. Okay, I said sometimes. And you know what? Game Time has tickets for you to get out for all kinds of events, concerts, shows, not just sports, but boy, do they have sports. I'm actually looking through the app right now, which you can do to find out like what is going to be happening in your place of residence. Nelly, like this is how I'm learning that Nelly is coming to Ottawa in April. I mentioned Sesame Street Live on another ad spot, which is personally exciting. Jelly Roll coming in March to the CTC. I've also got tickets for the World Junior Hockey Championships. Those are more expensive than the tickets for anything else I've mentioned. But Game Time Picks is this amazing feature on the Game Time app. It filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. That's so annoying. So Game Time Picks is going to curate what you get to see so you can save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater. And Game Time offers Game Time ticket coverage. Your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Wow. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today, because what time is it? Game Time.
It's the most wonderful time of the year for getting in on all the hoops, football, and hockey action at DraftKings Sportsbook. In the season of giving, we're being gifted college football and hockey, pro football and basketball, and pro hockey too, almost 24/7. And here's a gift for all new customers of DraftKings. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins when you bet just $5. Happy holidays from DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
We are back, and like I said, we are going to move on to one cold streak. And this is kind of the whole team is a cold streak right now. The New York Rangers are coming off a brutal game. They just lost 5-0 to the Devils. Chris Kreider was healthy scratched. I guess if you have Chris Kreider, you can at least be like, well, I don't think that's going to happen again since the team just lost 5-0. Not only did Kreider get scratched, but also Mika Zibanejad, at least to start the game, was bumped off the top power play. They had Trocheck, Panarin, Lafreniere, and Will Cooley up there with Adam Fox for a lot of the game, though it does look like Zibanejad did get there for at least one power play at some point, bumping Lafreniere. So that could be good for Will Cooley, but if no one scores, then it doesn't really matter. But I did notice, like, with Mika Zibanejad being bumped from that top power play, it's for good reason, right? He's pointless now in his last six games. He's doing nothing. He had zero shots yesterday to go along with his 0 points. He also had a zero shot game a couple games before that. There was a time when Zibanejad was like such a clutch fantasy guy. Even when he wasn't getting a point, he was taking a ton of shots. Right now, he's having such a brutal stretch, down now to 21 points in 34 games. That's a 51 point pace. That would be far and away the worst season he's had in the past, what, almost decade? What's going on, Elizabeth? How nervous would you be if you had Zibanejad on any of your teams?
A little bit. I mean, I don't have him, luckily, so I don't have to make this call, but I actually do play in a league where he was dropped yesterday, and he was dropped before the game. So somebody had no patience to wait this out and didn't want to try to make a trade, and I kind of don't blame them, because as he's sitting on waiver wires, I'm not super interested in trading one of my centers who are going off for somebody who's not really producing right now. The other thing here is, it's like you said, it's the whole team. They're really having some struggles over in New York right now on the Rangers. We're seeing that healthy scratch that was kind of surprising, I think, to a lot of us. We've seen a couple of interesting choices, and I just have to wonder if some of this is messaging from the coaching staff to the players. Like, we need to start gelling. We need to find something that works.
Yeah. But I am curious, though, if Zibanejad's now in free agency in your league, do you have anyone that you're looking at potentially dropping for him? I'd be curious. Does he like stand out above all the other free agents, or is this like a shallow league where there's lots of big names out there?
I would say it's about the equivalent size of the Kakupfel. So like he's interesting. Yeah.
You got to get him then.
I don't think he'll stay there. I think somebody will grab him. I'm unfortunately not the first waiver wire priority, so I don't think it'll be me. But I will be watching it, because like I said, my centers are doing good, but like I do have a couple wingers who could probably be replaced and make it work.
Yeah, it's one of those things where he's definitely cold, and I'm not looking at Zibanejad and thinking like, oh yeah, he's definitely going to bounce back for sure. Like, it's not as if he just has a low shooting percentage or bad luck or anything. His shooting percentage actually on the season is a little bit lower than his career average, actually maybe significantly lower. I'm seeing 8.3 this year, and his career average is around 13%. But lately, like, he's not even taking many shots. So that's not going to help him bounce back there. But at the same time, if he was dropped in Kakupful, I would probably drop some significant fab just because of the upside. But then maybe you would then start regretting it as he continues to flounder with the rest of the Rangers. But okay, so that's all the sadness. Let's end the show with some big games yesterday, some big hot streaks.
Absolutely. First, we've got to go talk about Dylan Holloway. He got a hat trick last night, which is so exciting. And we're also seeing some other good things in St. Louis with the revival of Binnington, which I'm excited about. I have both of these players between my fantasy teams, and I'm very happy with how things went last night. I feel like I was holding on to Dylan Holloway for sentimental reasons. I think everybody here knows I'm an Oilers fan. So there was some sentimental attachment, and I'm glad I did. He went off. He got a great game last night, 16.25 Kakupful points. But I have to be honest, like, his big games are interspersed with some slower periods. So he did have a period where we were looking at 1 to 3 Kakupful points a game. But going back to December 10th, he had that 12-point game, which was exciting. So he is giving us something to be excited for. It's just not consistent yet, and I would like to see more consistency if I'm going to hold him for real long-term, not just sentimental.
Yeah. I mean, Holloway was available in free agency in my division, and I grabbed Teuvo Teravainen, and I'm definitely wishing I could have that one back and get those 15 Kakupful points. It was 3 goals on 3 shots, so it's probably not going to happen too often that he scores on every shot he takes in a game. Holloway was playing with Kairou and Shen, but not on the top power play, so it's not like the most incredible deployment. I don't think I'm going to be rushing to grab him after he had this game, but it is nice to see he has big game potential, at least for like a stream. It seems like I always want to get someone that has the potential to do something big for me versus streaming in like a peripherals guy that maybe will get me 2 or 3 points max.
Exactly. And this is somebody who can do that. And he's really showing that. Like, he didn't get the deployment. He didn't get the opportunity as much in Edmonton, but he's really getting that now in St. Louis. And I think he's really showing what he can do and where he could be. And I think he will get more consistent. I know that's glass half full, but we're in the holiday season, so we'll go with it. I do think he can get there, and he will be more consistent, and I think he'll really cement his place there.
Yeah, and then you mentioned Jordan Binnington. Yeah, I brought him up on the Sunday show to Brian, saying, oh, he's kind of not doing so well lately, and Hofer seems to be doing better. And Brian looked into the numbers and said that he thinks that Binnington actually should bounce back a little bit. He was being brought down a lot by some unsustainable penalty kill performances, like unsustainable, I guess, in a good way, like he should be doing better. And yeah, so he just got a 19-save shutout against the Red Wings. I guess let's see how Binnington does against tougher competition. No offense, Red Wings fans. But yeah, nice end of the, you know, before pre-holiday section of the season for Jordan Binnington. Another player that I brought up on the show on Sunday that Brian said, don't worry about it, he should be doing better, is Tomáš Hertl. And Hertl definitely made Brian look good there as well. Hertl had himself a nice little game versus Anaheim, had a goal and an assist, took 5 shots. That's definitely what you want to see. He's on top power play still. He didn't need a power play point to get that production. So hopefully that's the start of a better second half for Tomáš Hertl for all of us who have him and have been a little bit disappointed, I guess, in the overall pace. Overall in the season, Hertl is now sitting at a 58-point pace. I would have hoped for more like a 65, 70-point guy, but I also didn't realize how big of a difference there is on Vegas if you're playing on the Eichel line or another line. But yeah, nice game for Hertl going into the break. So got to give Brian, of course, the kudos for a good pick there. And I even still have another one after that. I guess you can go to the next thing that Brian kind of predicted yesterday.
Yeah, so the next thing, like, we're just talking about Brian today. It's really the Brian show today, guys. The next thing we want to talk about is UPL. He broke his 13-game winless streak. Buffalo is having a rough time. Okay, we've all known this for a while now, especially those of us who have multiple Buffalo players on our fantasy teams and were wondering when this was going to turn around. Very happy to see them do it before the Christmas break and not need that time off to sort their stuff out. But the current save percentage for the year for UPL is a 0.895. Last year, he was at a 0.91. I would like to see him do a little bit more. I know people have been a little bit frustrated, but this isn't somebody that I'm looking to necessarily drop. I do think he will get there. I think he's going to get the starts. The whole team, I mean, you can't blame the goalie when you're on a long-term winless streak. It's not just the goalie, it's the whole team. So I think this is the first of many wins for them, and we're going to see a bit of a bounce back here.
Oh, you're buying Sabre stocks going into 2025?
I am buying the stock. I mean, I'm already in on more Sabres than I should be in my fantasy teams. But I think that they can do it. They've had some good periods this year. They just haven't been able to hold it. And I think like whenever a team hits this rough patch where you're on this losing streak, you can continue down it. But for the most part, these teams tend to bounce back and they come back with a vengeance. So I'm ready for that.
Okay, well, yeah, big win versus the Islanders, 7-1. And yeah, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen finally got himself a win. Brian did advise on the Mega Show not to drop him, but he said maybe to leave him on your bench. So I'm only going to give Brian actually half points because I left UPL on my bench and played Cam Talbot against Dylan Holloway. I should have asked you, Elizabeth. You would have told me to bench, I'm sure, Talbot. But yeah, great game for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. And if he has been dropped in your divisions, look, like Elizabeth is saying that the Sabres are going to go off soon. This is a starting goalie who plays like every game. This is like a Hellebuck level in terms of game played goalie, not Hellebuck level in terms of, you know, good games. But I think that it's the kind of goalie in most leagues you want to have rostered. And if someone just got so frustrated with all the negatives, that now could be a good time to get a starter on the cheap. Okay, next hot streak. I want to go to the Pittsburgh Penguins as a team with Buffalo breaking their winless streak. Pittsburgh actually has been winning a lot lately. They had their winless streak earlier in the year and it looked like they were just a complete tire fire. But all of a sudden now with Pittsburgh's win yesterday, they have now won 9 of their last 13 games. And some of these wins are like big statement wins. Like yesterday, Pittsburgh beat Philly 7-3. So they just stomped all over the sad Philly goaltending situation and Sam Harrison before Harrison got pulled and Fedotov got in, got stomped as well. This, especially the top line for Pittsburgh, has been so good. I don't even know if we've said it enough on the show. Crosby had a 4-point game. Raquel is on fire. Rust is on fire. I'm sad to say there was a point early in the season where Rickard Raquel was in my free agency and I streamed him in for a game and he did nothing. And then I like, you know, sent him back. Someone else grabbed him. And then he's been like an amazing hold ever since. So that's like a really great line. And also got to mention our podcast namesake, Erik Karlsson, going off a little bit. 8 points in his last 9 games. So fun to still see Erik Karlsson being a valuable contributor in fantasy, though unfortunately not on any of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, and this is what we're saying with teams who go through these rough periods, right? Like, they're going to find a way to gel. They're going to find the lines that work. It will happen. It's very rare that a team just has a terrible, awful, like, no good season that nobody wants to talk about and forget about to the point of drop all the fantasy players and stuff. This is a really good news story, I think. We're seeing those people that we expected to do well in Crosby on that line. I, too, streamed Raquel a few times in a few different leagues. I only managed to hold him in one. So I'm with you where I wasn't buying in early either. I was just playing the odds on starts, and I do regret that a little bit. But overall, like, it's hard to predict sometimes who's going to gel and who's going to stick on those lines. But I think this line is pretty set now with this Crosby, Raquel, Rust. It's really going well. And then, of course, like you said, Karlsson doing great. We've got to give him his kudos, right?
Yeah, and I guess also with Pittsburgh doing well, maybe you got to take a look at a Tristan Jarry, kind of like the UPL looked like just trash. Like even if he was playing, I was like, I don't want this guy on my team giving me negatives. But yeah, Jarry's, you know, not blowing the doors off by any means. But if the Penguins are going to win, then Jarry's getting the majority of the start. So he's going to win right along with them. He's won 2 of his last 3 now, getting 3 games in a row for Pittsburgh this past week. All right, let's end with a guy who I was complaining about on San Jose because I didn't like his deployment, but that changed. So you can give us some good news for one of the guys who's been carrying a lot of our fantasy teams to go into the break.
Absolutely. So we've got some good news over in San Jose with Mikael Granlund. He is seeing some line one. Things are looking much better over there. They, again, are a team where we're finding that they needed a little bit of time to find their rhythm and find their gelling, and they've got it now. Granlund looked good. He had an assist last night. He had 2 shots on goal. Would I like to see more because I have him on my team? Absolutely. I'd love to see some goals, but it is nice to see that things are going off. He is already, we know he's a good player. We know he, like you said, he's carrying a couple teams to some victories lately. And it just seems like this is going to be something that we can expect more from and more good things in the new year.
I mean, yeah, I just want him to stick with Celebrini because it just seemed like Celebrini was getting all the juice. Like, there's nothing left. He was drinking Granlund's milkshake. But now, yeah, if it's going to stick with Granlund, Celebrini, Toffoli, I like that. But also, who knows if that will happen, but that's my Christmas wish for the new year, is for Granlin to stick on that line.
I have so many questions about this milkshake analogy. All right. So Celebrini's got the milkshake and we all want to play with him. I got it. Okay. I agree. I mean, everybody wants to be on the top line. Everybody wants to be playing with the hot players, but you know, we need some consistency in the middle. So, but for right now, let's put Granlin on that hot line. Let's see what he does with it. And I hope he continues to go off.
I hope you're right. Okay, well, this has been a really fun Short Shifts. Elizabeth, look at us. We're like actually keeping it short the way it's supposed to be, and which I'm personally never capable of doing. So, happy holidays to everyone. Hope you have a good time. Hopefully you enjoyed this last minute show before we get into this long break. 3 days of no hockey. Oh my gosh. But like you said, there is the World Junior Championships coming up. Everyone, thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe to Keeping Carlson to get the content continuing to come to you as we head into the new year. We're going to have no Short Shifts on Thursday, but we're going to do a fun draft show over the weekend with the Fantasy Hockey Life crew. Myself, Brian, Victor, and Jesse are going to put something fun together. And then before we know it, we'll be back to just two Short Shifts a week, a matchup maximizer, a mega show. So yeah, just make sure you're subscribed to get all of that good stuff. If you want to help support the show, we do have our Patreon and we would appreciate any support. And we try our best to make it worth your while with access to the Discord community and a bunch of other things. You can read about that at keepingcarlson.com/patron. Thanks as always to Shams, who has been killing it on game day tweets every night, like just retweeting a bunch of stuff. It all goes to the site. So check out gamedaytweets.com. I used that actually to do this quick prep of the show today. Just kind of went through every team to see like what the news was, and it was pretty handy. So if you're a hockey podcaster, then that's a tool that you can use. I think Frozen Tools and gamedaytweets.com, like those two together is all you need to put together a fantasy hockey podcast. With that, hope you all play smart, keep your shifts short, and Elizabeth, I've got a movie recommendation for you over the holidays. There Will Be Blood. I would check it out. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Okay.
See ya.